Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Voices of Hope. This week we have a special guest, Lee Stover. I know Lee from back in my days of interning at Rise Ministries alongside of him back in 2009. And he's going to talk about his journey as an artist, a hip-hop Christian artist. He just released his first album in January called A Work in Progress. You can find that on any music platform. And you can also follow him on Twitter at @the_stovetop and also Instagram. Search for him on Facebook, you'll find him. And enjoy our conversation. It's a great one. This is part of our series of Beyond New Hope. These are people who are living their lives for God in different ways and finding ways to express their faith. So check it out and hope you enjoy the conversation. Well, so I'm going to record now.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Do your thing.
But thanks for joining me today, Lee. Now, people here don't really know you. I know you. But sure. I got to know you when we both worked at Rise Ministries for the summer as interns.
Yes.
And you actually probably, you know, won the lottery by starting to work there.
I did. Shared an office.
Uh-huh.
And that was awesome. I remember listening to a lot of movie trailers via YouTube coming from your computer, which I, of course, enjoyed. I was just thinking about that this morning before this call. That will be 10 years ago next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Don't. Ugh.
Yeah, that, how's that make you feel?
Well, I was just thinking that the other day about 2000, like literally thinking it's 2018, 2008 was a decade ago. And that feels like yesterday.
It really does. It's crazy to me. There's some meme going around or something that is like, in 2 years, 30 years ago will be 1990. And when I think 30 years ago, I think of like 1970.
Right.
Which
yeah.
is super weird, so.
Yeah, it wasn't the thing that when that 70s show came out, it was the time period, the 70s that took place was 20 years ago when it first started coming out. And so they said, like, today if they did a that 70s show, it would be a that 90s show.
Holy cow.
So.
Wow. I don't like that.
Yeah, so we shared office together. Had a lot of hijinks.
We remember going to Cornerstone Festival.
Yeah. Have you been back? Have you been back
that
there at all?
That festival doesn't exist anymore.
No?
No.
I
think they couldn't take it after we visited, so they shut it down.
So I guess for people listening that don't know what it is, it's it was a Christian music festival in Illinois. Was it Rockford? Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't remember exactly where it was.
But it was, wasn't it mostly like kind of hardcore Christian music? Like hard rock?
What was unique about them is they pretty much made a stage for anyone who wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a stage is a pretty strong term for some of those places. If you remember, it was kind of just like like camping spots that people could bring and set up their own equipment
and
play.
Yeah. And it was so dirty and nasty and people were running around with their shirts off. And
my few years after that experience and working full time for Rise, have been to the Dominican several times. And I often think that that festival felt like a third world country.
Oh, yeah, and
very
it was
dirty. And I mean, they had their big stages. I think Red played that year we were there, and
didn't Reliant K play there too?
Yeah, I remember that could be. That sounds right.
Well, the big stage was like, so you had all those little mini stages in this big clustered area, and then the big stage was over a hill somewhere. It was almost like a quarter of a mile walk to get to the.
Yep.
And it rained, and then Rob had his wheelchair, and he couldn't drive that in the mud. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Did we have a booth there? Did we have a table?
Yes. Yep.
Man. Yeah, definitely not Rise Fest's normal clientele. So, a lot of dreadlocks, a lot of black clothing, yep. And
it was an interesting experience, that one. So I guess the other thing for people listening is Rise Ministries. I worked there for 2 summers for an internship, and you did also, and or 1 summer, and then you worked there.
I was there 1 summer, and then for whatever reason, they decided to bring me on, and I've been there ever since.
So. Yeah, and it's a ministry founded by Rob Roseboom, and he has muscular dystrophy, and it is... What would you say about Rise Ministries? You give us your spiel.
Yeah. Well, that was a good intro. Rise Ministries, like you said, was started by Rob. He started it in 2001, kind of just as a speaking ministry. He would share his story of finding Jesus in times of adversity, specifically in his teenage years. Like you said, he has muscular dystrophy, so he was pretty rebellious as a teenager. Kind of the whole, if God loves me, why did he make me this way type of thing. So the ministry was born out of that story and finding Jesus and hope in the midst of dealing with the disability. And since that time, it's grown to not only include him as a speaker, but we do now a 2-day Christian music festival called Rise Fest. And we have bands like Chris Tomlin and Toby Mac. This year we have For King and Country and Jeremy Camp and a whole bunch of others. And that's just continued to grow, which has been really fun to be a part of. And then we have a missions program called Rise on the Road that we bring teenagers to different cities, even different countries, specifically the Dominican Republic. And that's just, we do mission work and try to show them that, you know what, life is bigger than your little bubble. And our real hope behind Rise on the Road is that they would go on this mission trip, experience what it's like to serve others, and then bring that experience back home with them and love those around them. Because sometimes you need to leave to see people who are hurting or suffering in order to come back home to be able to see that in your own neighborhood or in your own community. Mm-hmm. So that's our hope behind that program, is that kids would come back changed and then in turn change where they live.
Yeah. And so I think when we started at Rise Ministries, it was kind of that, I think, critical turning point for the ministry into growing into something bigger. My first year there, you weren't there, but that was the year, was it the first or second Rise Fest that they did?
Well, the first one would have been 2005.
Oh, so never mind.
But it was the first year, if I remember right, so that would have been 2008, 10 years ago. Uh-huh. So I think it was the first year that they went big with an artist lineup. Does that sound right?
Yes, because Mercy Me was there.
Right.
And that...
And they charged a ticket admission instead of being free.
Yes. But, that whole Christian music world is is fascinating now, looking back on it, for me. But you're in it. And,
right.
And speaking of that, you just released a hip-hop album. Is that the correct term?
Yeah, I did. So I released a hip-hop album. Hip-hop and rap music has been a huge part of my life. It's been my favorite genre of music. Music in general has been a huge part of my life, my entire life, whether it was show choir and marching band or whatever, musicals, I mean, everything. So I just always enjoyed music, which in turn led me to always writing music. I play guitar as well, so I do a lot of that. But hip-hop just stuck in my head, and it is my go-to genre. And it's been a project I've been working on for a long time. I've released a lot of music over the last few years, and this has been a project that's been really near and dear to my heart. And I finally got it done and put it out there. So I'm a 30-year-old dad who lives in Iowa that just released his first rap album. So,
And what kind of inspired this album? What's it called?
Sure. Yeah, the project, the album is called Work in Progress, and it's actually been a 5-year process. The idea behind the album is no matter where you go in life, no matter what you do, you've never arrived. You're always a work in progress. There's always something you can do to improve, to get better. Specifically, I come at it from a Christian perspective as a, you know, we're always a work in progress in Christ type of idea, and that's okay. Like, we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to arrive. So kind of be happy, be content with where you are in life, but at the same time, understand that God is always working and has plans for you. And so it's just kind of an exploration of that idea through a Christian worldview, my Christian worldview, which is different than other people's, obviously. But
so yeah. if you had to compare your style of hip hop or rap, who would you compare it to?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last few years have been really cool in the space of Christian hip hop because we've had awesome artists like Lecrae and Andy Mineo and NF who have just kind of taken the genre by storm and really got it out there at the forefront. I don't know that I would compare myself to those guys, obviously, because they're, you know, super huge and super successful, but it's I guess I would compare it to maybe like a Social Club, Misfits. That's a rap group that's in the Christian genre. Maybe a little bit of NF. I'm not quite as angry as he is. But Andy Mineo, the same type of thing, probably. Those would be a good comparison, I think. Yeah, and if you have anyone, I don't know if you've listened to the album or not, but I'm always curious to know what people compare me to. I asked a friend of mine when the album first came out, and he told me Will Smith, which I thought was kind of weird, but whatever. Like, I'll take that for sure.
Yeah. What has the response been to your album, especially being in Northwest Iowa? Which is probably what, not the top audience for.
Yeah. It's, if I was maybe a country artist and wore cowboy boots or something, maybe then, it's been good. I went into the project when I finally got the nerve up to release it and get it out there for the world that I was just going to do it and kind of not have any expectations. Even if I just released it for me, just to say I did it. So from that aspect, the response has been great. I've been in a few newspapers in the area, a couple radio stations. Every day I'm emailing different blogs and different websites that kind of talk about hip hop or Christian hip hop. It's gotten over 40,000 streams on Spotify.
Wow.
In about two months. I released it at the end of January.
Yep.
So that's been really cool. I mean, nothing's gone viral. I'm not going to retire off of anything, right. But it's fun. Every day someone's asking me about it, you know, whether it's you hitting me up out of the blue to come on the podcast or it's someone I see on the street. So that's been really fun, and it's given me an opportunity to, I think, kind of share what God's done in my life and the process throughout the entire project. So it's been a lot of fun. I've been happy with the response, and where it goes from here, I don't know. Maybe it's the only album I'll ever do, but for now, I'm just enjoying it and trying to get it out to as many people as possible.
Yeah. So why be a Christian rap hip-hop artist? Why go that route?
That's a great question. I feel like God kind of just placed it on my heart, honestly. For the longest time, I kind of fought with releasing the project in my own head because I kind of felt like I wasn't entirely sure if it was something I was just doing for me or whether it was something I was really quote-unquote supposed to do. And last summer, finally, I was at a conference for Rise for evangelists. And someone was praying in the room, and the prayer was something to the effect of, envision what God would have you do, or, you know, meditate on something you think God has for you, or something like that. And all that came to mind was finish, just the word finish. So right then and there, I kind of felt like that was my clear cut. Okay, I'm going to do this thing, and maybe all it is a lesson in obedience, and who doesn't need to learn that? So that's kind of really when I decided to put it out there and get it finished. Why specifically be a Christian rap artist? I love the genre. I feel like I've got a message through this project that is hopeful and can impact people on all different kinds of levels. The nice thing about, you hear the phrase work in progress all the time, right? And it can relate to any aspect in your life. So yes, the idea behind my album is a Christian spiritual one, but at the same time, you know, if you have physical goals, like I want to run a 5K in whatever minutes, like, or financial goals, or you name it, everything is a work in progress. So I love John Acuff. And in one of his books, he had a phrase that says, some beats none. Mm-hmm. And I have that written on my on a sticky note in my kind of home office. And that's kind of what I think about every single day in a lot of aspects of my life. You know, I might not have time to run as far as I want to run, but 2 miles is better than 0 miles. I might not have time to sit down and email 10 radio stations about the record, but 2 emails is better than 0 emails. Mm-hmm. So work in progress, I think, can relate to anybody in any walk of life.
Yeah. Well, because I think in our church, in our area, what I've experienced is people aren't very attuned to the Christian music world. And so if I, well, they are in a way. Some people will be listening to Way FM or K-Love.
Sure.
And so it's all those feel good.
Kind of your adult, yep, hot AC.
I can only imagine. Played 20 times in one day. Oh my gosh. Side note. You know that movie came out? I can only imagine. Yes. Somebody on our staff saw it and they loved it. And I felt like I kind of rained on their parade because I just told them, I refuse to see that movie just for the fact that I'm so sick of that song. I've heard it so much that it's just kind of ruined for me.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, so that's like the number one song played in, you know, the Christian world, you know.
It is in fact the number one Christian like song of all time.
Yeah.
And the story is the movie is really good, and I know you're such a movie guy, but yeah, if you can get over that, I would highly recommend seeing the movie because it is really good. And
maybe at some point, because it does have a fresh, well, it's at like 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is unheard of for a Christian film. So maybe I'll take a gander at it. I just, that song, oh.
I understand. I understand.
Not,
for sure.
I mean, it's a wonderful song. It's,
oh, it absolutely not, is. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's played on every single Christian radio station for the last, that's coming up on probably 30 years. No, 25, no. Something.
Didn't it come out in like 2001, 2000, somewhere around there?
I want to say it was late 90s, but somewhere right around there. Yeah. So coming up on 20-ish.
Jeesh. And it's
been
still
heard many, many times, for sure.
Still played every day on the stupid radio.
Yep. Also, side note, when we were at Cornerstone, didn't Seventh Day Slumber cover I Can Only Imagine? Does that ring a bell?
That rings a bell. I don't really remember it, but that would be funny.
I remember thinking, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah. Seventh Day Slumber was a... Were they a punk screamo group?
Or I don't think they were a screamo group. but I think they were a harder rock group than what Mercy Me is considered. So
yeah,
little bit different spin on the classic.
Yeah. how has Rise Ministries been able to kind of help you have a platform as an artist? I know you do. Is it technically public relations is your title there?
I'm the marketing director.
Marketing director
for Rise Ministries. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's given me a different look into the Christian music industry. And it's been eye-opening to be around all those people and just see all the inner workings of it and things like that. It's challenged me to put out the best product that I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of bad music out there in any genre. I really felt like I wanted to have a high standard in my music, and for the time being and where I am in life, I honestly feel like this is the best foot that I could put forward. So, you know, not to rush and just put something out there for the sake of putting it out there, but really taking the time to have it be quality and not just say, oh, it's about Jesus, and then put it out there and have that be good enough, but to mm-hmm. really have the music and have the production be of a high value, which I think it is.
Mm.
So in the future, hopefully maybe it can lead to some different performances or maybe getting onto some different festivals with people that we know.
Mm-hmm.
For now, it's more just I've learned what not to do, I think.
Yeah.
I think that I've done that, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if that really answers your question or not.
Well, it's funny because we talk about it all the time, at least at our church in worship planning, about music being a way for people to experience God. And mm-hmm. sometimes that doesn't involve music that literally says the name Jesus, but you're pointing to something bigger. You're pointing to something bigger than themselves and hope and...
Yes.
And because I always think of this, have you seen the movie Believe Me?
I don't think so.
That's kind of a Christian movie also. It was made by these college students after college. And it's kind of a critique of not what you guys do per se, but like those big traveling Christian concert things that raise money for different nonprofits and ministries. So what the movie's all about is these guys create a fake ministry in order to raise money to pay off this guy's college tuition so he can graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not Christians, but they jump into that world and learn how to talk like them and how to...
Interesting.
You know, elicit emotions and response. And
right.
And it's kind of a satire movie. And so there's this part in the movie where the worship leader is singing before a guy comes up to give a speech. And the only lyrics for the song that are on the screen are Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he's just sitting there strumming away, Jesus, Jesus. And sometimes Christian music can kind of fall into that trap of, we said Jesus, so it's Christian, but you're like, yeah, but that's all it's saying.
Right.
You know, what? And so like with your music, you're talking about how everything's a work in progress, and trying to relate to people in that aspect and also say, it's okay. God still loves you in the midst of that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And there's, you know, a lot of different themes, that are woven in and throughout the whole project. Everything from, I guess my song that's doing the best on Spotify and the song that I kind of think is one of my favorites. And, if it were to have a lead single, it'd be the lead single or whatever. But, it's the second track on the album. It's called AI and it stands for artificial intelligence. And that song is pretty much saying, you know, the world throws a lot of stuff at us. It tells you that you need a lot of money to be happy. It tells you you need to have material things to be happy. It tells you that, you know, relationships with these people or that people will make you happy. But at the end of the day, those things only get you so far and they leave you feeling empty. So they're not real. They're fake. They're artificial. So, you know, that's a theme that is kind of like, I mean, not trying to sound cliche, but Jesus, you know, is not fake.
Right.
He is the real deal, and he's the one that's ultimately going to make you happy. So ignore all that artificial stuff. Take a look at the reality, which is Jesus. And I've got another song that talks about some things that I've struggled with personally called Addicted. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most personal song I've ever written. Songs that are about standing your ground and not giving up and fighting. Song called Fighter, and songs that are just fun and goofy. I got a track called Bananas that's just kind of all about no matter what you do in life, do it to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. And a song called Feet Work that pretty much just makes fun of the club twerking scene. you know, for a while that was a big craze or whatever.
Yeah.
And, that's fine, but do something a little more creative, you know, if you're going to be dancing, like that's kind of the gist of that song is, okay, that's, you know, you can go and twerk if you want to twerk, but yeah. I'm going to do something a little more creative on the dance floor.
Isn't that, I think that's kind of funny that sometimes we forget that no matter what the topic is or the activity is, there's always this, it's like for me, I love movies and there will be certain movies that people come up to me and they're like, I love that movie. And I'm just like, that's a really horribly made movie. it's horrible. But in different areas, like you talk about music, there's a lot of horrible music out there. And then also dance, you know, like some of that is just not good. It's not inventive enough. It's not creative enough. So it's lazy, you know?
Right. Well, and that song is actually kind of inspired from, I own a DJ company as well, and we do over 70 events a year, and a lot of them are high school or college parties. And, I can only watch kids try to bump and grind for so long before it's like, seriously, like, this is the Cupid Shuffle. There are steps to this song. It's not hard. Like, do something else. You know what I mean? So that's...
But that's all what those, you know, high schoolers want to do. They just...
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember high school dances. Everybody's grinding and...
Yep.
And I remember back then, too, thinking, like, why?
Right. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't... Yeah. But it's, you know, it's sexual in a way, and kids are kind of exploring that, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happily married, and I love my wife, and, you know, I get it, but.
Like, right.
You're on a dance floor in a public place, so, like, do something a little more than.
Cool it.
Rock back and forth, you know, for 3 hours.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, I don't know, do a spin or, I don't know.
And that's kind
of arena or something.
I think that's something that you're starting to see a resurgence of is the creativity of dance and the art of dance.
Right.
Whether it's the show, So You Think You Can Dance, or now anything can be online through YouTube or.
Yeah. Yep.
And so people are, I think, rediscovering what it means to dance rather than just. Grinding
rather
on the dance floor.
Than that. Yeah, exactly. So it, yeah, that's my whole point is do something a little more creative and, you know, have fun. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a guy that's been known to just be on the dance floor all by myself and not even care because I'm just having fun. So that's kind of that message too is, I mean, if you like music and you like to move to it, then dance and just have fun.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I think I've seen quite a few of wonderful, wonderful videos of you and some of your friends from high school recreating, was it High School Musical
numbers? We did one High School Musical. We were just a wannabe boy band. A lot of NSYNC, a lot of Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So you were already creative in high school doing that stuff together. And
Right. Yeah. So I was always, like I said, music's been a big part of my life for a long time. And to move forward from just covering other people's stuff and put out something that's mine is pretty cool. So I'm pretty happy with it. And that's the main thing too, is going back to not really having any expectations. The biggest expectation I had for myself is that I would be proud of the finished product and that I would be happy with it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I am. And like you said, people have a lot of different ideas on what's good and what's not. But at the end of the day, if you as a creative person can be happy with what you've put out there, then that says a lot. And I'm very happy with the finished product. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, I can say I tried and put my best foot forward.
Well, that's part of being a whole person, right? That if you have a passion and you want to do it, you're not doing it for money or fame or anything right. like that. It's more of, this has been a burning passion of mine to do. Mm-hmm. I need to do it for me before anybody else. And so that yes. sounds like what your album was to you.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And, you know, like I said, will anything ever come of it again? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm having fun talking about it now. So
yeah. Well, maybe, and I'm sure once Rob hears about this podcast you did, he's going to have to listen to it. So maybe Rob can start a... We talked about this, I think, when we were interning, a record label for Rise Ministries, and you can be the first artist.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Who knows? We'll see. He's got it. He's listened to it. He's not a big hip-hop fan, which has been funny because... That's been a lot of our conversations through the years. It has been, you know, as I've told him about my passion for rap music and all this stuff, he, you know, doesn't really get it, which is kind of funny. So,
but don't you think he listened to some rap in high school? He seems like a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. So his rap is more like N.W.A., Tupac, you know, Notorious yeah. B.I.G., which yeah. is all great music, and I love all kinds of rap music, but a little bit different messages than what I'm trying to put out there. So
that was probably during his angry years.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. So that's what he says too, is he relates to those songs in that era because, yeah, that's when he was not really living a great life. So to him, rap music is just kind of associated with that, which I understand. But
yeah. One other thing I thought of while we're talking was when we first started at Rise Ministries, the summer of what, 2008?
Would have been yours. Yep. Yep.
Or 2009. Yeah. No, in 09, I remember Twitter had just come about.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all trying to figure out, what do you do with Twitter?
Yes. And you started Rob's account.
I think so. Yeah. For Rise Ministries. And then the other thing at that time was cloud technology. I remember you talking about it. And we were just like, what? Things just... It's going to be on a server somewhere else. Like somebody right. else has that. And I was like, no way, this is stupid. But now that's all I use now.
Exactly. Yep. And I was not anti-streaming, but I was very, I want to download all my music, especially being a DJ and wanting to like just have that music on my computer and not have to rely on an internet connection or whatever. So I was very, just in the last year, I've really turned to streaming more and more for personal stuff. I'm an Apple Music guy. I'm Team Apple till I die. So I have Spotify, but I don't do Spotify Premium. I stream through Apple. But
yeah,
crazy how
quickly that changes all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
last 10 years and
now they're pulling CDs out of Best Buy, and I think Target's gonna be next pretty soon. So
That speaks to the fact that, like, even back then, you releasing your own album was probably just kind of a dream.
Right.
But because of the technology over the last 10 years, you're able to do it a little bit more easily than
before. Yeah, exactly. And I don't, it's a very independent, artist-friendly world right now, yeah. Which is very cool. I'm able to get my music on everything that a huge superstar can. So yeah. My music's on Tidal. My music's on Amazon. It's Spotify, iTunes. It's all the same places. So it's very, very independent-friendly, which is nice, and also very easy to do.
Yeah. Well, and even like this podcast, starting this for the church, you know,
right.
You can easily just put it on. It's on iTunes. It's on Podomatic. I'm working on getting it to Google Play and Spotify.
Yeah.
And so it's just crazy how easy you can do that now.
Yep. And it's just opened up so many possibilities for different creators and not even podcasting and music, but YouTube and,
yep.
you know, video creators and. It's a whole new world.
Yeah, and it's great, and it works for the people that have a passion like you do to get something out there. And one question I was thinking of: remember Waiting to Rise? Have you guys talked about getting that on like Netflix or something like that? How easy is that to do?
It was put out on a Christian version of Netflix, not the big one that's out there right now. What do you know what I'm talking about? Like Sky Angel or something.
Vid Angel.
That could be.
Was that?
I don't know, I don't think it's that one. But it is on a different Christian version of Netflix, I think. and we haven't. I mean, we haven't touched or talked about that thing in so many years. That thing was made when you were around.
Yeah, that's 10 years old.
Exactly. And
oof.
Life is very different now. All the kids, it's funny going back and watching that because all the kids are super tiny.
Yeah.
You're in the documentary.
I'm very young.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody looks very young. Mm-hmm. It had a very short window, I think, of being impactful. I think it was impactful, and mm-hmm. I think the people that saw it, I think it did touch them. But we've talked through the years of maybe re-releasing it or a quote-unquote sequel or
right.
something like that.
Yeah.
But something way shorter, maybe like a internet series or mm-hmm. something like that. It's never gone anywhere
right.
other than just talking about it. But
well, I think it's one of those things. Waiting to Rise was a documentary on Rob and his life and what he does. And I thought it was a really cool movie documentary, mainly because mm-hmm. I was in it. But for a brief moment.
Do you have a copy?
I do. Yep. I still have it.
We redesigned the cover a couple of years ago.
Ooh.
So the latest versions, and we haven't reordered for a while. I don't know that we ever will, but the new version has a different cover on it. So,
well, and it's, I think that was one of those things that was kind of before its time. It was harder to distribute that.
Yes.
But now you could get it in so many places for people to see it. And,
yep.
and you could do it yourself. Pretty
right.
easily, you know, so
mm-hmm.
I think technology is a good tool lately to get new voices and different voices out there.
Yeah. And we talk all the time about doing different, even just devotionals, you know, that people can download or whatever. And, you know, we don't do Rise Above Radio anymore either.
Right.
So taking some of those scripts and maybe turning them into some devotional material or things like that, yeah.
Hmm.
Documentary. I haven't thought about the documentary in a long time.
Yeah. Well, if I have Rob on the podcast, we'd probably have to talk about that.
Oh, you absolutely have to talk about
that. But he'll hate it.
And the tough part was, too, and I know this was part of what you did, I think, that summer, was I think you were kind of in charge of trying to get it out to different places, if
yep.
I remember right.
I remember mailing it to all kinds of different Christian outlets, you know, Christian Broadcasting Network. Dove put its stamp of approval on it. I remember
yes, it
that
did.
Was a big success.
Yeah.
Yeah, just any place and every place we just sent it. And what we started to find out was nobody would look at it unless you had a lawyer or some kind of attorney to manager or something like that. But just like basically cold calling, sending stuff out there. A lot of people are like, no, thanks.
Interesting. Yep. And we, through being a part of and being around different people that do video and stuff like that too, well, what we learned was that you just kind of need to never stop trying to get it out there. And, you know, the festival grew and our missions program and whatever. So it just kind of got less and less of our time. And that's what happened. When Rob would speak and would actually mention it, you know, people would pick it up and, you know, we had a few responses from it, but it's just one of those things. Kind of like the album too. Like you need to, I can't just put it out there and hope for the best. I mean, I can, but then I feel like I'm not really doing my due diligence. I remember when I finished the album and submitted it to be distributed, I thought to myself, oh man, now the work is just beginning because now I need to get people to listen to it. And I can't just throw it out there and hope for the best. So
you've learned from that, that you have to continue pushing it and pushing it. And and I've learned that slightly with this podcast too.
Sure.
Like you have to use social media and continue to push it and people start to see it more and more. And then they start asking about it. You can't just put it out there and be like, hey, we have a podcast now, go listen.
Right. Yep. And you can, but you should do that every day.
Yes. Yeah. Well, do you feel good about our conversation? Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you'd want to cover? I know one of the things we should do is you did mention the album is available on everything. So Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Pandora.
Yeah. Anywhere Pandora. You can find music, it should be out there. So, Stovetop, Work in Progress is the album. Search for that and you'll find it. I do have some older stuff out there as well. So, you know, that's available. I did find out, and I didn't know this until I started distributing my music, that there is actually a band called Stovetop.
Really?
And they have two albums out there. One from like 2006 and one from 2013. So if you stumble across those and you're like, this isn't rap. Yeah. No,
that's not you. Me.
And I didn't know that until I put my music out there, and then I was searching for it on iTunes and I found it. And then I also found this other group that I can find nothing about. I can't find a website. I can't find social media accounts. It's just, this music's here and it's just there. So, beware.
All right. Well, and so maybe we'll make some of our, people in our congregation fans of hip hop and rap by listening to your album.
Right? I like that. Yeah. Jesus rap.
Jesus.
somewhere in between DC Talk, KJ52, and Lecrae is where I am.
But I understand that. I don't know how many people will understand that though that are listening.
Well, that's fine too.
Yeah. So just check it out. Check out Stovetop, Work in Progress. Available everywhere.
Available everywhere. And
follow you on Facebook, Instagram.
Yes.
Twitter,
all the above. My profile pictures are the album art. So that's how you know you got the right guy. On Instagram and Twitter, it's the_Stovetop, and Facebook is just
Stovetop.
Not the stuffing, but the artist.
Stovetop stuffing. Man, you have to compete with that.
Yeah, which I'm still trying to figure out how to use that to my advantage.
Yeah, I could do a silly song about it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And everybody check out Stovetop, Work in Progress, wherever you can find it. And hopefully you find Lee's message positive and encouraging. And it sounds like the K-Love tagline, But
that's the goal, man. There's too much
negativity.
Too much negativity out there, and you know, people need to know that there's hope as well, and that's really what I'm trying to get across, and that hope that I found is in Jesus, and I think that's the answer. So if I can help point some other people in that direction in a fun way and in a way that I like to do and connect with, then that's great. My website is stovetop-music.com.
Okay.
So make sure you got the dash in there. And definitely appreciate the opportunity, and I'm thankful that you thought of me.
Yeah, well, and thanks
on the podcast.
Thanks for joining me, and we'll just maybe we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, cool.
All right, well, thanks, Lee.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Well, let me know when this is posted and all that good stuff, and would love to give it a listen and share it with some people out here.
All right, sounds good.
All right, see ya.